And we're live.
I'd like to welcome everybody out to UPC today. Do we have anybody that needs an introduction?
Amanda Baker is here for Marilyn and Kathy Locker. She's representing UPAA. I think everybody else is a known quantity.
And that being said, if you make a motion, if you get to state your name, because I don't know everybody, then I can record it.
Do you want us to go around and tell everybody, tell you our name now, or that?
I probably will forget all of you.
Well, let's do roll call just so we've got it.
Okay.
I have it on the record. Stephen Foote, I'm the Duchesne County Attorney.
Bob Church, UPC.
Ron Waite, UPC.
Rob Van Dyke, Kane County Attorney.
Amanda Baker, Payson.
Ryan
Peters. Sorry.
Ryan Peters, Job Cabin.
Jeff Beeman, SWAT, and out of court.
Steve Garcet is a guest.
Tyson Skeen, Prosecution Counsel.
Stuart Williams, Clearfield City.
Ryan Robinson, guest with West Valley.
Noah Carlson, proxy for Sim Gill, Salt Lake County DA.
I'm Trish Cassell, I'm just getting my mind.
That's all right, Weber County, lunch.
Ed Montgomery, South Georgia.
Okay.
And Troy and Yvette, are you both online?
I'm here.
Great, Yvette, West Valley.
Do we have a corner?
We do, yeah. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, we have 8 out of 12.
All right. So we'll go ahead and get started then with the meeting. First up are the minutes from our last meeting.
Move to approve.
Have a motion by Will and a second by Rob to approve. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So those are passed. Fiscal year 22 budget review. That's going to be...
Okay. So... As it happens every year when we present the new budget in June, we haven't closed out 2022's budget yet, just because we don't get the final financial data from the AG's office until early June, or excuse me, mid-July. Marilyn Tech told me that she just barely got it. If y'all didn't know, she is getting married this afternoon at 6 p.m. Will Carlson is officiating. So it will be the social event of the year, not to be missed. Yeah, let's see. Oh, Darcy has joined us. Is Darcy still here? Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that amendment.
Perfect, okay. So just a couple of things, that I pointed out, unless you have any questions. March's data was hinky. That is Marilyn's word, according to Marilyn, as I put in there. We got our reports differently. We also reported last time that we had migrated to the online version of QuickBooks, and it's different enough that we're still trying to figure it out, and not everything is the same. And so we're still working out those bugs. We're going to be in good condition. We're going to have a fairly sizable carryover. I don't want to predict what that is, because without the last couple of months information, we should be good again with a good carryover this year. So unless anybody had any specific questions, that's all I've got about our year-end budget.
Okay. Proposed 2023 budget.
Okay, similar to last year, I have applied for grant funding to cover a portion of Ron's salary, which if granted, overall, let's see. Jeff, could you, looks like Troy's way, oh, there we go, thank you. It'll be about $60,000 or so that would supplement Ron's salary from our budget, which is a big boon to us. I don't get the non-lapsing carryover, as I was mentioning just a minute ago. I don't get those numbers until about mid-August, so when we meet in September, I'll be able to let you know. So on the budget, that's why there's only a $1 amount in there, because I had to put an amount in, so that will change. We don't have any additional training beyond what we would normally do, and so when we meet in September and we have kind of those final numbers and we know where we are at budget-wise, I'll bring this back to you all is an issue. Do we want to consider maybe adding boutique conferences, for lack of a better word, is like maybe a day only conference that is either held locally or we take it to, you know, an off-site training location if we want to do that. And if that's what the council decides, then we will take that to the training committee in October and we can plan that. So just keep that in mind. I think we're going to be in good condition again. Like I said, that grant for Ron's salary helps out a lot, and we have been carrying over a pretty healthy non-lapsing carryover every year between $30,000 and $50,000, which means that we're doing well. Maryland's done an excellent job with the conferences, keeping most conferences under budget. One thing I was going to mention is last year we actually made more on a couple of our conferences, had more registrants than we anticipated, so that was helpful. So I think we'll be in a good position going into next year.
Next up is the training committee.
So let's see, Ed is going to take over Steve's slot as the training committee chair, but we have not met yet. So is it all right if Ed and I kind of give that report?
Sure.
Okay. So upcoming August 21st and the 26th is going to be our basic prosecutor course. We already have a handful of people that have signed up. With the amount of new hires that have been out there, I anticipate that we should probably have a pretty good a student base. About a month ago, Will Carlson emailed me and asked me if I was the new HR director for the AG's office since I was sending out so many job announcements. So, but we anticipate having a good crop of students for that. We had Train the Trainer, as you all know, earlier this year. And what we are doing is we've invited three of those students from Train the Trainer to come and be on our faculty. So we've got Joe Hood from Washington County. Let's see, Eric has left already. I was going to thank him for allowing him to come. Dominique Kitapas from Carbon County and Alex Redmond from Utah County are going to be new on our faculty this year. We've made some assignments and are looking forward to that. If any of you have new hires in your office, you've got the dates, please sign them up. And we're looking forward to that. Fall conference is September 21st to the 23rd. I had a couple of speakers that were unable to participate, and so we're finishing up with the agenda. So that's why that is not included in your packet, so that you could see, because I didn't want to put anything out until things were finalized, but that will be in St. George. Our training committee, for those of you that are on the training committee, we'll be meeting October 17th through the 18th. That's the same week as civil conference, which is what we traditionally do. UPC covers, for those of you that are new on the training committee, the council will cover any costs associated, you know, with you coming down and participating on the training committee. Civil conference is October 19th through the 21st, back in St. George. I think we're in St. George at least three times this year. Darcy Goddard, Salt Lake, is an overachiever, and her committee met probably a month ago and has planned out that agenda. I don't think it's been put to print yet, but that has been finalized, and that should be a good conference. And then our misdemeanor prosecutor conference will be in Kanab, coming back to Rob's neck of the woods, November 3rd and 4th. So looking forward to that.
Nice.
Yeah. And then y'all know about the county executive conference, the 16th through the 18th in St. George. We will be doing, going into the new year, we'll be holding a new county attorney seminar. It will be January 11th through the 13th. We already know that Jeff Gray from the Utah County Attorney's Office will be a student, but I'm not sure who else, who we might have as newly elected county attorneys. Is there going to be anybody that's new besides Jeff?
Salt Lake County race. I don't know if there's even a race anywhere else.
That's what I was thinking. And so maybe what we'll do is, rather than actually have a formal conference, is we may do some one-on-one mentoring with Jeff. I don't know. I guess we can check with him and see, but I didn't think there were any other really contested races around the state. Yeah, okay. So that's tentatively planned. We do have space reserved at College Drive. One thing that I have put on here for discussion, and we have never done this before because we've never had funds and I've never noticed this before, but NDAA is offering an office administration course. It's for, I put the handout at tab D in there so you can see what it's for. It's for paralegals, it's for office administrators, but it's also for you know, the electeds, chief deputies, things like that. And I'm wondering, would we want to invest in some of our UPA members, whether board members or some of our office staff, and we'd have to decide how we would select them. Do we want to sponsor some scholarships and send a couple of people to NDA's course? Thoughts, feedback?
It seems like it's pretty specific to that jurisdiction and not like a statewide effect, so I don't know. Is there a benefit to UPC for that?
Right, I mean, and that's a good point is, I mean, you can see what the topics they're covering, and you're right, it's not like every single session would be a particular benefit to a paralegal, you know, an office staff. It's just, you know, there are some that would be worthwhile, and with the understanding is that they bring that back. And I'm not, I mean, I guess maybe in one sense I'm advocating for this because I brought it up, but on the other hand, I just wanted to bring this up for a point of discussion to see if, you know, if it would be worth bringing some of these topics back.
Just floating, there's a benefit to UPC and SWAP because we hear what other jurisdictions are doing, struggling with, and facing. That benefit also applies to national organizations like NDAA. They may be facing issues that will be coming to us. They may have ideas that none of us have ever thought about. That doesn't mean that it's always 100% worthwhile,
yeah.
But there is a benefit.
Right. Oh, did you mean, Rob, that it's NDA specific, you know, like a district attorney's office specific?
No, maybe I misunderstood. It sounded like you wanted to send somebody to a course about being a better administrator.
Well, it's not so much that. I mean, I think it's that. It's like, let's see, recruiting diverse of staff, myths and realities of transparency, successful retention strategies, and I realize this is probably not, let me get to our, what would be, more of a...
I don't know that it's a big issue, and I'm not opposed to it. If I need to become a better administrator, then I need to figure out a training to send myself to.
Yeah.
But, like, you're thinking more, oh, there's issues that somebody could come bring back, mm-hmm. which is kind of what Will's saying, too.
Right.
So that's
right. Fine. And I will be the first to say that NDAA, they put on good courses, but we put on just as good, if not better. I mean, but the advantage of going to an NDA course is, you know, like Will's saying, is you get more of a global perspective of what's happening in around the country. And you really, I mean, you get some nuggets that you can bring back.
Bob, I went to that course probably 5 or 6 years ago, and I took my chief deputy, and I think my civil chief, I can't remember, but it was one of the best courses I've been to at NDA. Probably the most useful course I went to, but I will admit it didn't really apply as much as I thought to support staff.
Okay.
It worked really well for the people that were managing other people, the hiring, all that stuff. They did have a few sessions for like paralegals and stuff.
Yeah.
Not nearly as much as they kind of advertised it originally.
Okay.
I went to this about 15 years ago, and I thought it was excellent too, but it was more me excellent. Like how to talk to the media, how to hire good people was where I, it was that conference that motivated me away from paper to electronic files.
Right, okay.
Back in 05.
Okay. So maybe not, the email that I got was spinning it towards the support staff, so maybe not so much for support staff.
It did when I went too, but it really didn't seem to have much applicability.
Okay.
Just general management stuff?
It was really good on that stuff.
Kind of prosecutor office specific.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at the topics. It's more department head level.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Look at the topics, it included, it looks more department head.
Yeah. Well, and so then I think the question still is out there. Do we want to send some people? Do we want to send in some of our...
It may be helpful for your new elected county attorney course.
Yeah. Oh, right.
This is something we have been talking about when you hired our new electeds.
Okay.
Send Jeff. Actually, it'd be pretty useful for
him. I'm being serious. Yeah. It's not facetious. What if you sent one or two DAs and one or two... types.
Yeah. And like I said, is I think we will have the budget that we could do that. You know, we could send four or five people. I like that, sending Jeff Gray, if that will fit into a schedule.
What are the dates? He doesn't currently work for the AG's office.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the other thing, is it falls right on fall conference. Yeah, it's September 19th through the 22nd.
As soon as he won the primary, he had to resign.
Yeah. Crazy stupid.
Yeah, there's a state statute.
Statute.
As an AG employee, you cannot run for a partisan political office.
Yeah.
You become a candidate as soon as you win your primary race.
What? So he's resigned?
I don't know that he has, but there's a state statute that says he has to.
It says he has to.
Probably a contractor.
That's clear.
Maybe.
Bible character had said that he was a GAL. He ran for county attorney after resigning once he
became a candidate.
Stupid.
So,
text the AG from his employee journey.
Exactly. So, do we want to do that? I mean, should I reach out to, I'll reach out to Jeff if that's what we're thinking, but do we have anybody that would like to be sponsored to go or volunteer to go or that we should invite to go?
I might be provide the adult supervision if anybody. It's in Charleston,
South Carolina. I know.
I can't say I'm not really like the
okay. How does this translate into a course for us?
Well, so I think what Will's point is, and Jeff's and others, is whoever we send to that, we would have them bring back in all of the curriculum, whether we can translate that into, one of our, a course like that. I mean, I think some of those topics we could incorporate. And I hadn't thought about is going to, because that will predate our new county attorney course, and that will help us maybe reevaluate what it is that we want to cover in that new county attorney seminar.
You could do it as a breakout session.
Right, and do a breakout session. So, whenever we send anybody to NDA, that's kind of the goal, is that they bring back, a topic. Just for example, is Marlise and I were invited to train in North Carolina last month. They paid for it. But there was a topic, and I left before I heard it, that I want to watch, that I would like to bring back to Utah, and it was an ethics presentation on how to lose. And what it was, the basis is that as prosecutors, we want to win. But we also have to learn how to lose, because there's sometimes that we do lose. And what this presentation was very heavily North Carolina, East Coast sports analogies, teams that have lost and the things that they have that they learned from that, how they have then built on that loss to achieve greater success. And so I'm going to look at that and see if that could be translated something here that, that we saw at a conference and brought back. So, okay, so Ryan, Jeff Gray. Has anybody had any dealings with, I can't think of his name now, the new Morgan County attorney? I mean, I know he's
Garrett.
Not new.
Garrett,
how's he doing?
He calls me every couple of months with a question. I don't know how his sheriff's race ended up.
That's the conversation I had with him.
but I think he's, I mean, I can't imagine trying to do it all. But I think he's doing fine, given the situation.
Right. I mean, I'm wondering if this is something that, because he's probably our newest.
Yeah.
county attorney with the least amount of experience is maybe reach out and see if he's interested in going.
I'm not sure how applicable, I'm not sure how much law office management he does with how small he is.
Okay.
I think stuff that would be helping him more are learning all the different areas of law
okay.
that he has to tackle.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd suggest offices that have 5 to 200 people.
Okay, so bigger. Would you agree with that, Jeff? It's really geared more towards a bigger. Okay.
No, I mean, I got my names are in there. I'm just saying, like, I could see, like.
Turnover is not an issue when you only have 2 employees.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Until it is.
Yeah, no, until it's an issue.
And then it really is.
So, anybody got somebody who wants to quit in their office? We need another attorney. We're looking for one for 5 months.
Oh, and actually, this isn't on the agenda, but it just, as I've been thinking about, as we're talking about this, is how do y'all feel, do you guys as a council want, like, leadership training? And if so, what would you be interested in? And would we want to do it as part of this? Would we want to do another retreat like we did pre-COVID? I don't think you're on the council yet, Ed, and Stuart definitely wasn't. But is that of value to you all? Just thinking about what we bring back from some of these big conferences.
Would be great.
I haven't done it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that's something that you're all interested in, or if council meeting where we just talk about training and budget is sufficient. Or maybe it's more we do it, you know, at county executive is, I mean, we try to do some leadership seminars and topics there, but just an idea that just came to me. Okay, well, think about it. Okay, so that then is the training committee report. Ed, and I'll get with you as we get closer to October on what that will look like.
All right, next up, council membership. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so I think you all saw or have heard that Robert Cosin has resigned for, you know, his own reasons. And so UMAA appoints... I put on here new city prosecutor, but now that I'm thinking about it, I think UMA appoints, they've kind of been the civil side guy, but because we're the prosecution council, it's typically been a prosecutor. And so what we do is we have 4 city people that are on the council, and as you can see, it's Stuart, Yvette, and Ed. And so Robert Cosin will be another city representative that we need to appoint. Is as a staff, we talked about a candidate, and I have we talked about Randall McCune from Cedar City. But as I was reminded that since it's UMA that appoints, and I would have to look at our statute again, is I think UMA appoints to and OOMPA appoints to. So I don't know if that means that it has to necessarily be a prosecutor.
I think UMA can appoint whoever they want.
Exactly.
It's not the city representative, so that will
work. And that's what I'm thinking, but I'm also wondering if there's somebody else here that they could appoint. But he's not... You're not a city attorney though, Haddad, are you? You're an assistant city manager.
He's the man who solves all the problems at the city.
Exactly.
Actually,
when I did
the park looking for a cougar the
other day,
too, I was tracking a 4-footed cougar.
As opposed to the
cougar. The cougar side. But UMA, I mean, they're pretty receptive.
I was going to say, I mean, they're basically going to bless off whoever they suggest. So is there anybody that the council would like us to approach for consideration?
And their statute does say four city prosecutors.
Okay.
Designated as follows, two by UMAA, two by...
Okay, thank you, Tyson, for looking that up. Okay. So we're back to Randall McCune as a potential. And the reason that we thought about Randall is we've got Stuart, who's north, Ed and Yvette, who are kind of central, you know, Utah. And so we were looking for somebody, you know, from south. So I don't know if anybody has any suggestions from Utah County area, central Utah, or as I said, when we got down to Randall in Cedar City.
This is for a person that will serve both with you for UPC and for SWAP?
No, this is not the SWAP.
Yeah, they would.
Oh, is it the SWAP representative?
It would be both.
Okay.
That's the way the SWAP bylaws work.
Well, the SWAP bylaws are, they need someone from UMAA or they need someone from the UPC?
From the council.
It's all, yeah, I didn't have to look at them, but it was always, they filled the two UMAA appointments. Always also feel the representatives on SWAP.
Okay. So tentatively, yes, Ryan, is that it would be both. I mean, how do you feel if we were to reach out to Randall? Does everybody know Randall McCune, first of all?
I like him. Just by reputation. I
mean, yeah.
He put some very insightful comments on the...
On the forum.
Things like that I follow as a nice
and that's one of the reasons we're thinking about that is somebody who is involved. Any objection for us reaching out to Randall and seeing if he's interested? Okay. Then I'll do that. I'll reach out to Randall and see. And if he's not available, then...
Do we need a vote to tell Rod, to tell...
Bob.
Tell Bob what to do. Just Robert.
Yeah. You can call me Robert too.
In regards to him. So if he's interested, then we'll have him approach UMAA and say, hey, this is who we would like you to appoint if possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, the way the statute reads is that they make a recommendation or appointment and the UPC has to accept.
So, I mean, we're kind of getting the cart before the horse, but.
We will accept this appointment if you guys think.
Yeah.
We've done a rule 11. We've done a rule.
Yeah, it's a rule 11. I let you
know. And there were some reasons that and there were some reasons that we kind of massaged the statute to say that we have to accept it. But by doing it this way, we're hoping to avert that issue that we had several years ago.
We would entertain any motion that somebody wants to think about that.
I move to approve Randall if that's who UMAA picks.
Can we have a second?
Second.
Any opposed?
Yeah. Okay. Rob. Thanks.
Will and Rob again.
Sorry,
Will. Same as last time. Sorry.
Thanks, Amanda.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott Stevenson, I gave you his retirement flyer. So if you hadn't heard, Scott has retired, is leaving post, and he is becoming the director of the Fraternal Order of Police. And so, what's that? Oh. So, for those of you that are up here that want to attend, his retirement is going to be July 27th from 2 to 4 there at post, in room 125 on the first floor. So I just wanted to make you all aware, and want to publicly thank Scott for his support on the council. So by statute, it's the director or the commissioner of public safety that's the council member, but traditionally he's appointed someone else. And we had this question a couple years ago when we revised our statute, and frankly, Director Stevenson brought it up himself, is does law enforcement need to be on the council? And we've debated that back and forth. And I think at the time we thought, we don't discuss issues at every council meeting that affects post, that affects law enforcement, but the times that we do, it's helpful to have their input. But with Scott's retirement, do we want to readdress that? And I'm not saying that they're not, you know, valuable input. It's just, do we need to have a law enforcement representative as a council member?
I think the last few years, the legislature has mandated that UPC and post collaborate on certain topics.
Right.
And I think that's probably a model they're going to follow going forward. And so I think it'd be a good idea to have somebody from DPS, because it's really the commissioner of DPS, and Scott was a designation of the commissioner.
Right.
Does it need to be DPS, or can it be